Dinky Dawson, and Tony Rain, and we're kicking off our podcast, Two Pints in a Corner.
Welcome to Pints in a Corner.
Two Pints in a Corner. Can we make it three or four?
One, two, three, four, five.
It's a bit early.
Woohoo! Brian says hello to everybody. He wishes he could be here, but he's in the middle of Georgia somewhere with the tennis team.
Oh, well, maybe we'll get him again at some point. We're going pretty good. We've got, I think we got, about 8 hours now, Dinky?
That's awesome.
And podcasts ready to put up.
Wow.
Looking for your stories in there.
My story.
Yeah, when did I remember Brian? I was in there 86. I came out in 87, and I remember Brian starting in there with the band.
Yeah, it's funny because the first time that I went to that building was 1978. I turned 18, and it was the Mad Hatter.
Right.
and we would drive in there. You know, they had the light up disco floor.
Oh, yeah.
They would have. Wednesdays were quarter beer nights and dollar drinks, and the dollar drinks had four shots in them.
Yeah, wow. Oh, gosh.
There's a lot of people stumbling out of the Mad Hatter.
That was 78. In 78, I was where you are now. I was down there.
Oh, really?
Bartending in Florida in Jacksonville. I'm going down to St. Augustine.
Oh, my gosh.
The weekend. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
the fall of 78 was when I went to Flagler College in St. Augustine and met Brian. First day of school, freshman year.
Cool day. I used to go down drinking the White Lion because it was the closest thing to English pub back then, across from the fort.
That's where we used to hang out. We probably hung out with you and didn't even know it.
I used to go down there and play darts.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever see, there was a band, what was the name? The guy had really long hair, like down to his waist.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the name.
It was good. I'd first come from England to Jacksonville. So.
That's crazy. Yeah. I'm sure we probably sat at the bar next to you.
Cool.
Yeah, but anyway, so, you know, when we moved back to Boston in, 83? Brian started a band and he was playing at the Channel, but then after we got married in 87, I got a job at the, I'm getting old. The name of the booking agency, on South Street that I worked with, Armin A and Lisa St. John.
Was the Entertainment Network?
Entertainment Network. Thank you.
That was Harry's startup. Yeah. Yeah, that
their office. Yeah,
it started up from the Channel over there. That's right.
Right. So I worked over there as the receptionist, and then Brian was working at the Channel as his title was receptionist. And I won't say who, but I went to one of the owners and said, "Hey, how come we're both receptionists, but Brian makes more money than I do?" And he looks at me and says, "'Cause he's a guy."
Oh, yeah. Happy.
You know, I didn't last very long working there.
Happy days. Hey, Don, I just should tell you, we've got Tim Miller sitting in with us as well, who's been kind of moderating these things. And Tim was the entertainment editor of the Cape Cod Times
down here, an old
friend of mine. So he'll just throw in some questions once in a while.
Sure, Tim, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
He's keeping Dinky and I under control.
Good.
Oh, I don't know about that. But.
And I know kind of what your job was because we have a good college friend who used to be the arts and entertainment editor for the Newark Star-Ledger.
Oh, really?
So Wally Strobe. He's okay. He's not there anymore because of all the downsizing and everything, but he's written a lot of books. It's like it's tough working for a newspaper.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely is. That's why I'm no longer working for a newspaper.
right.
Where did you go after the network, Donna?
I worked at Mass General Hospital for 15 years after that.
Oh, wow.
In administration. I loved it.
Yeah.
That was a great place to work.
Brian was in the club for obviously a number of years, right? Because he got into
Buffalo. He stayed a lot longer. And then what was funny, one of the stories is that, you know, I would leave Mass General in my, you know, navy blue suit and my high collared button-up shirt and all that, and go to the channel. I would walk to the channel, and whatever show was going on, it's like, you know what? I don't really fit in a suit like this. So I would, I bought a 3X channel t-shirt and wore it as a dress. So I'm like, now I fit in a little bit more.
What was the name of the bands that Brian started in? Because there was a few that he was in.
He started out initially with a band, Rumors, out of Malden.
Okay.
Played a couple times. But the band that played the channel a lot was Me and the Boys.
That's right.
And he opened up for a lot of the national bands.
Yeah.
And it was a blast. A lot of times the Fools, the Stompers, he'd open for them. It's like, and we got to know those guys.
Yeah.
It's like, and we're still really good friends with Sal Baglio. He's awesome. And his poor mother just died this week.
On Facebook all the time. So
yeah.
I'm sorry,
say it again?
Sal's been doing the thing with Tom Hambridge quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Doing great, you know.
And that's one of the things that when I started thinking about the channel, like, so many people that we met are, like, still really good friends. And it's kind of like I have three groups of friends. My childhood friends, my college friends, and the channel friends.
Wow.
And it's a huge group of people that it's like you go through war together. You know, you have this brother-sisterhood, and you just know that they'll have your back no matter what.
That Stinky and I have been trying to put across that, you know, it was a sad end to the place, and we're not really talking about that, but in its day, when it was good in the late 80s, it was good, and it was a real scene, and it was the mix of being a hangout for South Boston and being such a mix of different groups of music fans, all the different genres. So it was a different place every day to different people. But it made one big community that had an interest in it. It was kind of cool. And that seems to have gone from the business. That's one thing we keep getting around to is everybody's just into hard ticket concerts now, you know? There's no...
Yeah, I mean, after we left the channel, I was like, what do you mean I can't get in for free? I can't get backstage? We can't drink for free? I was like, we got really spoiled.
Yeah. What do you mean ticket prices are expensive? I don't find
that.
Well, it was all part of a business thing that was still being invented, you know, before Live Nation took over.
So Donna.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know I've talked with you a week or so ago on Facebook. You said then you've got some stories you were thinking about. Mm. So what's the thoughts on your...
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny that I'm not the musician, I'm not on stage and all that, but being there, I got to hear the sound checks, things like that. And one cool one is when Ian Hunter and Mick Ronson came.
Oh, my God.
And the Bristols opened for them. And we were really good friends with the Bristols. So we're like, I'm sitting in the middle of the dance floor in front of that big stage all by myself watching Ian Hunter and Mick Ronson have a sound check. Like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And then because I was there and hanging out, Mick Ronson like really liked me. And he said that, you know, I had my camera and he said I could get on stage, you know, to the side of the stage with them if I wanted to take some pictures. I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I got some awesome pictures.
Wow. Yeah.
And then at one point during the show, Brian came up behind me and gave me a kiss on the cheek. And their road guy goes, hey, what are you doing kissing somebody else? You're Mick's girl.
Nice.
And I'm like, no, I'm not, really. This is my husband.
Wow.
And apparently Mick had a girl every place he played.
Oh, yeah, Mick was a bit of a lad.
So, so like, I guess I was... Like, you can call me Mick's girl, that's okay.
You still have your pictures?
Yeah. There's, actually, I let Dinky use a lot of them for the channel webpage.
Oh, good, yeah, we'll put them up with the stuff if you like, and put them...
Well, also, what we're going to do is we're going to have a YouTube channel, and we're going to put, especially when you're talking today, we're going to put some of your photos on that channel as we talk.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. And also, it's on my Facebook page. If you look under photos and then albums, it's the one of the very first albums I put up there. So you got to scroll all the way down to the bottom.
Good. Yeah. I used to like the
Bristles. Yeah, then another one that. Oh yeah.
The Bristles were one of my favorite bands in there.
I grew up.
Did you know that Michelle passed away?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tim actually grew up with one of the girls in Detroit.
Kim Ernst.
Her mom
spoke at my mom's funeral. They were really, really, really close friends.
Yeah.
And so I knew Kim when she was a little kid. I mean, I was a little.
Oh my
kid
gosh.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Kim. Yeah. Kim is awesome.
Yeah.
I think she's. And I still love that the Smithereens.
Yep.
Yep. I still love that the Smithereens still talk about her and they love her and all that.
Yeah. There was a whole. I liked them. I've done a lot of work the last few years with Carlene Carter and Nick Lowe. And I know Nick was really close to the Bristles as well at one point.
Aww.
Because Carlene was upset about
it.
A little too close.
Oh my gosh.
Actually, we
were another.
Yeah, Tim's just saying. I can't remember. We were
at
the Narrows.
Into one of the. Yeah, we went and saw Nick Lowe
at the Narrows.
And we. Who was it?
That was one of the Bristles that came. She was backstage.
Yeah, I can't remember, her name, but she was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
What I was going to say is one of the other stories that for the channel Christmas party, we tried to get the bartenders to have a party. So they didn't have to wait on people, other people like us, like me, volunteered. So I was a bartender at the Christmas party in the channel.
Uh-huh.
And I know a lot of the Hell's Angels used to hang out.
Yeah.
For security or whatever. And I remember there was one big guy. I don't remember his name. Brian thinks it was the head guy. I don't quite remember. But I was waiting on him, and he just wanted to chat. And he told me this story. He said that he was in a bar one time, and the guy, the owner's like, no, you caused too much trouble. You can't come in here. He's like, no, I won't cause any trouble. He's like, you don't touch anybody. Don't put your hands on anybody. And the guy goes, yep, no problem. I won't touch anybody. So he walks in and apparently a guy heard all this and says, this guy heard that I'm not going to touch anybody. So he's in my face and he's taunting me and this and that. And he's like, look, man, get out of my face. I don't want to cause any trouble. And he said, the guy just kept coming at him. And he got his nose right up close to me. And I was like, okay, put my hands behind my back. And I bit off his nose. I said, oh my God, sir. I said, sir, would you like another drink? I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. Like, yeah, okay. Whole different world than I live in.
Oh, yeah, it was a different world in there. The bouncers and the security guys. We were talking about those guys the other week. I don't know how long Tony. There used to be a big guy in there, Tony. He was a wrestler, the Dungeon Master.
Yeah.
He was one of the head bouncers when I was in there. And Mike Smith, did you know?
Yeah.
Mike.
Oh, Mike, we love Mike.
Mike was running the
bar my God,
at the time.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And I think Roland was the bouncer. Roland, but Mike Smith, we're still really good friends with him. He lives in Reading, in my home where I grew up.
Is that where he is? I've lost touch with him, and he and I got hired the same night. In there.
Yeah. He's doing good. He's doing really good.
I went in as a bartender.
He's been working at MIT.
Right.
I think MIT for a long time.
Yeah, that's the last I'd heard. Good. Yeah, he was a good guy. He was there for quite a long time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I think he was there.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Is Brian still doing music stuff down there?
Yeah. He's had a band down here for a long time. But with COVID, a lot of the places just, stopped doing it, and he's getting tired, tired of having to go until 2 a.m. or something like that. So he's thinking of going out solo, just doing the restaurant gigs, things like that. But he's still writing, still playing, still collecting guitars.
Well, great. I mean, he was really close to, I know a lot of the new bands and the local stuff coming through. And some of them, thank goodness, had quite a bit of success. We've been talking about how many people went through that club that stayed in the business, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible, yeah.
Joe Filoni, we played with Brian on a couple of things and stuff.
They recorded a song together that they, Joe was in Boston and Brian was down here, and they just shared the stuff that they did and then put it all together. It was wild. It's all over on the computer.
Yeah, they could do that these days.
Yeah.
Remember before
He said he misses working with Joe Filoni because he's like one of the best guitar players that he's ever met.
Yeah, I think that's even the people like Hirsch Gardner like Joe a lot. Mm-hmm.
Did they work a lot on the other clubs in Boston when they were doing the channel in the late 80s? Was he on the circuit?
Oh, yeah.
Doing Bun Ratties in all those rooms?
Yep, Bun Ratties, The Rat, Jax and Jumpin' Jack Flash. There was so many of them.
Chet's Last Call.
And up in New Hampshire, too. There was a couple places in New Hampshire, and I remember... They were opening for the Fools up in New Hampshire, and it was like 2 a.m. And they were putting all the stuff in the, you know, we had like a 2.5 hour drive home. And the guys are like, oh, I can't pick up this amplifier. And it's like, oh, can you help me? I'm like, oh, for God's sake. And I picked it up myself, put it in the truck, and I was like, let's go. I want to go home. So I was like, I think they were a little afraid of me.
Yay. I love you. That's the way to be.
What were some of your favorite shows that you saw at the channel?
Oh my God! Roy Orbison. Almost everybody says that. Mm. You know, it's like the day before he died.
Oh wow!
We saw those two shows.
Yeah.
John Entwistle. I had my picture taken with John Entwistle, and he came back a second time and signed my picture. You know, so it's like, and I was able to take some close ups of him too. He was a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Meatloaf, and John Kay from Steppenwolf came. He was in Necco Plate, and I remember that he had a meet and greet, and nobody wanted to like spend the time and sit there. I'm like, I will. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, really.
So I sat there for like two hours with him and talked to him. He was the nicest guy in the world.
Wow.
I mean, really quiet and calm. I'm like, nothing like I expected.
Yeah.
You know, I pictured this wild and crazy guy, but no, he was awesome.
Yeah, I would have pictured him sort of as a hard ass, but
no, he's always been real.
Real
gentle.
He was
like professional.
Yeah.
He's always been a real pro, and he's always liked the meet and greets, and he's always been accessible. You don't get it if you grew up here in Born to Be Wild, and
on the
Pusher, and then you meet him, he's like,
yeah,
you know.
I remember B.B. King. He was. Yeah. I remember meeting him in the office when he came, and he signed Brian's father's guitar.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he gave me a kiss on the cheek, and I'm like, oh my God, his cheek and his skin was like baby soft.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow. He was just a really nice guy. And guitar that Brian, you know, that BB King was the first one to sign it, was also signed by Bo Diddley at the channel. Buddy Guy, but that was down here.
Yeah,
Dick Dale down here, and Johnny Lang.
Bo Diddley played with Ron Wood, I think, at the channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got pictures of that, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's funny. When I posted that picture on Facebook, one of the guys, I think who was working security or something, said he was in the dressing room, and he's talking to Ron Wood, and Ron Wood just looks right past him, throws up in the bucket, and then continues the conversation. He's like, but I think he had the flu or something, and he was still playing that night.
Yeah,
and then I remember.
Well,
the flu really went along.
He looked like he had the flu.
And we did BB King again in 91 in the channel with Joe Bonamassa. Mm-hmm. When he was about 14.
Oh, wow.
He was the
Oh, you know what? Brian says that we went to that, and I have no memory of it.
Yeah. And then Joe,
like, maybe. Go ahead.
Joe came back and headlined like 2 months later.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I've worked with Joe a few times.
I vaguely remember that as some kid came by, but I didn't remember that it was him.
Wow.
Right. There were so many, the blues guys were always in and out. I mean, it was just such a mix of genres of music in there. It was always good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. And then I remember Deborah Harry came, and it was Brian's 30th birthday, and she gave him a kiss, and he was like on cloud nine all night.
Wow. Oh, yeah. She was definitely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the good stuff. Well, you got lots of photographs to share, and I'm sure. That's great.
Yeah. I took a lot of pictures. I would say some of my memories are very different from the musicians that were there because they're, you know, looking at the musicians on stage and I'm taking pictures of them. So I'm half listening, but half seeing what they're doing. So my memories are very different from what other people might get.
No, I get it. Yeah. And that's thinking I was saying that. That's and Brian's, I'm sure, as well, because if you were in there so many nights a week, all the time, you, as I said earlier, you saw a different club every night because you saw a different crowd.
Right.
You saw a different, you know, genre of act on stage, which drew a different crowd. So it was that always interested me, was the change in there all the time.
Right. And I always loved that Dinky and Greg Klassen, who would do lights, let me stand next to them so I could see from that way, or you know, take pictures from the board.
Yep.
And Dinky never let me do sound, which is a very good thing. but Greg would let me do lights if it were like mainly if Brian's band was playing, because I knew all the songs and the breaks and things like that. So he let me do lights for Brian's band. So that was very cool.
Yeah, I get to work the show properly from there. Yeah. Yeah, the front of the house was always the best place to be.
That people may not know, maybe, I don't know if this is my thing or if other people have done it, but it used to get so loud in like right up by the stage and all that. I would go into the ladies' room to do a sound check. Okay, if it sounded good in the ladies' room, then the band was good. Uh-huh. If it sounded like crap, that's where you could tell was in the ladies' room.
Wow. that's pretty much how you do it. I mean, that's how I get that, you know, in the... In the old days, they used to say at Abbey Road Studios, they used to record in Studio 2 and then go outside and listen to what they'd put together on a beat-up old transistor radio. And if it sounded, it sounded good on the transistor radio, it was okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The problem with the ladies from, of course, is you're going, wait a minute, I don't remember that band having a tuba. Sorry.
I would really like to know what happened. I'd like to know what really happened to all those gorgeous tiles in the ladies' room. But you guys never went in the ladies' room, right? So you wouldn't know what all those beautiful tiles were like.
Just to make sure it was clean, that's all I'd ever go in there for.
We have a friend that actually fell through the roof above the ladies' room and went into the toilet by accident.
Wow.
It was a metal.
Oh, no, really?
Testament to one of those.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
They were looking through the ladies into the ladies' room and the whole thing collapsed. Right on.
Whoa.
Right on there. And I think the guy got mobbed by the girls because he was one of the guitarists from Testament. Yeah, Testament.
Oh, my God, really? Yeah. What was he doing up on the roof?
They were coming from Boston Garden after they played their home for somebody, and they were taken up on that area because it was a hangout place. I never went up there, but it was a hangout place for the old school before I even got to the club.
Yeah, I didn't know. I never got into that.
Was that for the view?
Who knows?
It was for being illegal, but that's about it. You know?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was part of the history. I think we eliminated Dinky.
but I couldn't believe it. I mean, the girls were going to mob him right there. Oh!
Surprise appearance.
And he's from heaven.
Right.
Say that again.
No, I just said there was fun stuff what you guys were doing.
Oh my God, there were so many national celebrities that would just come out and hang out at the channel.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. I remember walking by and seeing Jeff Beck one time. It's Whoa. just just standing by himself, but, you know, with a drink, watching the music. Wow. Like, oh, it's so cool. Wow. And one time, downtown Boston, it was when I was working at Mass General, and I'm coming back from lunch. I had a Happy Meal and an umbrella. I'm going to my office, and Steven Tyler is standing out there by himself. And I'm looking, going, oh, my God, what are you doing here? Like, I know him or something. Oh, yeah. And he had gone to the dentist. He was waiting for a ride. So we chatted a lot. And nice, nice guy. And I'm telling him, oh, if you need to get into the channel, let me know. And we'll get you on the guest list. And I'm thinking, seriously, like, Steven Tyler would need me to get him into the channel? I don't think so.
He must have been so impressed.
But I tried. I tried. That's I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
what other local bands did you and Brian follow besides the Bristols and the Fools, obviously the bigger ones?
Oh.
Were there, are there any standouts from the smaller ones?
One of them, you know, obviously, you know, love the Stompers and the Fools, saw them all the time. Del Fuegos. I mean, we used to go see the Del Fuegos all the time.
Sure.
And we even... Yeah, we become friends with them, and when they were stopping over, the Zanes brothers would sleep at our house.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, there were so many people that would stay at our house, and Brian remembers them. I'm like, really? I don't remember. Like, yeah. Okay, like we were here in St. Augustine, I think it was last year, and Duke Robillard was playing at a little tape place down the street, and so we went to see Duke Robillard, and then we're looking, and Brian goes, that looks like Brad Helaine, bass player, and who had been at our house too. And I'm like, but it had been like 30 years. I'm like, he's all gray now. And I was like, oh yeah. And then Bruce Bears was on the keyboards. And I'm like, and these guys play with so many national bands and local bands and things like that. I was like, holy moly.
Well, the Zane, did some books, didn't he?
I think
one,
again?
Of, one of the Zanes brothers did some books, did some really good music books. Hmm.
Oh, he Warren Zanes.
And he was the director of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think, for a while.
Wow. Right, yeah. Yeah, he wrote
Yeah, I read a good one.
Tom Petty's.
Yeah.
Oh, like the foreword?
No, he did these mini books.
Dusty
Springfield one. He did a few of them.
Mm. On the like ghostwriting?
Yeah, he wrote the biography of Tom Petty, and we actually went to see him over in Gainesville when he spoke about the book, and then we had lunch with him with a bunch of people like that were Tom Petty's best friends from school and things like that. So there was like 12 people that all had lunch together with him, and it was like, it was just very cool. And they were exchanging photographs. Like, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, with all the people that you meet through the channel, that you're still there's still some have gone on to great careers, and they're still doing wonderful things. And they learned it all with the channel.
Yeah. We've brought a couple of Dinky's tech guys' names have come up, you know, over the time. Paul Hagar, who was one of the local band night guys working for Dinky, is Miley Cyrus's engineer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a bunch of them out there.
Wow.
And Scott Perlman is down in Nashville doing a bunch of the country people down there.
Yep.
Scott is, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Timmy Miller.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like,
oh, Tim Miller, I forgot to
John Bianelli?
Yep.
Yeah. But Tim Miller, I forgot to mention that his last band was the Black Eyed Peas.
Yep. Huh. Yep.
No, really?
Yeah, Timmy.
Wow.
Had been working out of Orlando for a long time with all those Disney acts. So when Dinky was doing the New Kids, he got introduced to the world. And I've been with the Melody Tent the last 28 years. And I've seen loads of guys from the channel come through with touring acts and you know, techies and roadies and everybody else.
Remember, I was saying that it's like, oh, now what do you mean I can't get backstage? Maybe I can't get in. That when those guys come to town here in St. Augustine, there's a 3,000 seat amphitheater just a mile from our house, so we get to see Tom Hambridge quite a bit, because he comes through, and we get to see Greg Klassen quite a bit too.
Yeah,
so it's like, Greg's going out. He was, so it's like, I this is awesome. It's like, okay, we can use our friends a little bit, even though, I mean, the main reason is we want to see them, you know, because it's they're never home.
No, that's right. I usually see Tom if I'm in Nashville. Like, I get together with him. I love it. And he's played the tent a few times. And he'll come through with, you know, obviously when he's with Buddy.
Yeah. That's awesome. And there's another one. I don't know if you guys know John Shipp. He does sound for Aerosmith.
Shippy and I are good friends.
We didn't meet him through the channel because he is my best, one of my best friend's little brother. Oh, so he will always be Pam's little brother. I grew up with John Shipp, and it's so funny to see what he's doing now.
I gave him his first job at the Melody Tent in South Shore. Was a sound guy. When he was working with Tom. He was working with Tom Smith, helping him out. And I ran into him. I ran into him a few years ago on one of the Outlaw cruises. He was with Blackberry Smoke. And he actually came back and did some work right after COVID when things were quiet with Aerosmith. He worked South Shore Music Circus for us for a summer. Yeah, I stay in touch with
him. Well, if you see him again, soon, tell him that his new name is Pam's little brother.
Okay, I definitely will. It's funny how the circles all close. You know, everybody knows everybody.
Oh, absolutely,
To him soon. Great. You got more, Dinky? We'll be good. Thanks so much for doing this, Donna.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my pleasure. Those are some of the best years. And you know what I have to say? When I was thinking about our time at the channel, we didn't have any kids. You know, we're living in Cambridge. And like, I felt so free every time I was at the channel. I didn't feel any stress. It was just fun. People were nice. It was just a really good few years that we were doing that. So, thank you, Dinky.
I'm glad. There's just so much good stuff that's come out of there and that was there already. But it's capturing it because every night there was something going off that I saw you running around with a camera. You'd come up near me with when I'm mixing or whatever. And then you'd be on the side of the stage. I'm saying, Donna's just part of the old place here. Let's get out there, you know.
Well, it was good. I think we all took it. We all took it seriously because we were all into it for the music. I think when it changed was when the business became about accountants first, you know, and that kind of knocked that fun edge off it and that freedom out of it. You know?
Yeah,
like everything these days, everything becoming so corporate.
Corporate, too much.
One thing I love is that your perspective of this. It's like one of the things that Tony and Dinky talk about is the scene, that was the main thing, the scene, that everybody would go there and it was something special. Mm-hmm. But everybody that we're bringing in to talk, everybody has that different perspective, like you as a photographer, seeing it differently than say Tony or seeing it differently than your husband, because you were playing a role as photographer and it's really cool to hear, you know, your view of things.
And guess what?
Jack's, thanks.
Jack's coming to talk next week.
Jack Burke?
Yeah. So I'll remind him about the pay difference in the receptionist.
I didn't name names, did I? I didn't name names, but you can ask him.
I will be asking him.
Well, remember, I told Debbie Boris that story one time, and she's like, "That wasn't my father, was it?" I was like, "Nope, wasn't your father."
that was sad to hear about Debbie.
I know, Brian actually wrote, when she first got sick years ago, because she had non-Hodgkin lymphoma, he wrote a song for her called In the Positive, because she had treatment and was finally, you know, in positive results. Yeah. And I just said, man, I can't believe that it all came back, and it happened so quickly.
Right.
So sad.
It was sad.
That stuff does.
Yeah. So you never know.
You never know.
These days... I love you, Dinky, and I know we told you that back in October when we visited your house. and Tony and Tim, thank you for doing what you're doing. I hope to meet you in person sometime. Yeah, Tony, I think I have met you, but it's been a long time.
And please give my best to Brian.
Yeah.
And
I'll
tell him we hope we can get him to do this as well soon, too.
Definitely.
He's the assistant tennis coach for a college tennis team, so, and it's tennis season right now, so he's... Yeah, he's not around most of the time.
Well, we'll get these posted next month, and hopefully we'll drive some traffic enough to keep going and do some more. But we think we'll get about 10 shows up to start and see how it goes.
People want
to. Oh, that's awesome.
They're interested in and with us lot, we're all individuals that worked there, but at the same time enjoyed there, because some of the things that we all saw were just priceless, because they're that.
Yeah.
Particular day, you know, you've got your feelings about the whole thing, because you were there, because of love and because of wanting to be there every day and stuff, no matter what. And then you decided, I'm not going to work there anymore because I don't trust these, you know, whatever.
I had to support the musician, you know.
I know. That's what I was thinking when you were doing that.
God love you, because I know without strong women behind most of us in this business, we wouldn't.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody would.
No kidding. And you know what? I think I really appreciate what the musicians do, and I support it, and that's why I had no qualms about going to work and making sure that Brian was able to do what he wanted to do, because I didn't have that. You know, it's like, you know, his dream was my dream, so it's like, just go for it. But he also he was also a stay-at-home dad, so he had the hard choice of taking care of our kids, doing the dishes, cleaning, cooking, all that stuff. So I was like, it evens out.
Yeah, it works. And if you get to follow a little bit of your dreams, you know, with that, and I think that's
what
the channel was it was accessible before the business kind of shut down to really having to know people and do stuff. You could still, there was still a chance to get something out there and make something in Boston with yourself, you know.
It was
an
enjoyable time, actually, for a lot of people. And you've had two wonderful kids out of it. You know, I mean, that's the thing, you know. And you know, when you start looking back at all this stuff and you start finding out, wow, I look at this photo. There's Mick Ronson. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, and then you start remembering and you go back to that particular day that you did that and said, well, half the day was fantastic. The other half was, wow, it's hard work, you know?
Just to remember the good bits. I think that's the thing about the club, too. You know, we all know how it was at the end, but I think there were some really good times in there.
Oh, big time.
And that's what I keep in my head.
I don't remember if you guys know, what was the bar downtown that everybody went to at like 2 a.m.? All the bartenders went there.
Jay Foley's.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, I couldn't remember the name of that. I was like, that, I've been there many times too.
Oh, yeah, still there. Sure.
It's either there or the Chinese place that you get some iced tea.
Yeah.
Bit of Chinese food and maybe a pot of iced tea, you know, and the iced tea being beer.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Right. All righty.
Wow.
Well, 2 pints in the corner again, Dinky.
Hi, we had 2 pints in the corner. Wound
it up with Donna Washburn. Thanks so much, Donna.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you for doing this, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Good.
Best of luck.
We'll keep going. Thank you.
Thank you. And,
all right.
Tell Brian we'll torture him soon.
Okay. Okay. All right. Take care.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for listening.
Definitely. Thanks for listening and happy channels.